Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora koutou, ko Julie Ferry tokuinga, ko maunga ika, te maunga, ko wairo te awa, te waitamata, te whanga, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Kia ora, my name is Julie Ferry. I'm one of five Roskill Community Voice Reps on the Pukitāpapa Local Board of Auckland Council. I'm part of the City Vision Centre-Left whānau and I have a monthly spot here on Red Alert Radio. I'm very keen to get your feedback and you can find me quite easily on social media, both Twitter and Facebook, because I have a strange last name that's easy to find, but it's hard to spell. So it's Julie Ferry, F for Fred, A-I-R-E-Y. There are a couple of us in the world, but there's only one of us in New Zealand, so you can be pretty sure if you find a New Zealand-based Julie Ferry that that's me. We also have a Red Alert Radio Facebook page now. If you search for Red Alert Radio AKL in the Facebook search bar, it should pop up. Now, we put up links to these shows as podcasts once they're up online, so you can listen to them again or share them with your friends, as well as other bits of useful news that are relevant to the topics we're covering. You can get all our past shows as well on the Red Alert Radio archive on planetaudio.org.nz. Now today, I'm talking with Diane McCarthy from Friends of Wairaki Stream, a volunteer group helping to clean up and value this urban stream, which most people have never heard of, that runs through Lynfield in Mairohe to the Manukau Harbour. Thanks for joining me today, Diane.
Thanks, Julie.
Now, first up, tell us a bit more about Wairaki Stream. As I said, many people won't have heard of it. Mm. You know, the generally heard of the big flashy one, Oakley Creek, Tiaonga. You know, it's got a waterfall and it's, you know, all flash and fancy. But Wairaki Stream, where is it and why does it matter?
So Wairaki Stream is, I think, quite unique in Auckland, actually, in that it's actually a completely local suburb stream. So it belongs to Lynfield, starts in Lynfield, ends in Lynfield. And I must admit, having been a resident of Lynfield for 22 years, I feel very ashamed that it's taken me this long to get to know such a lovely local stream. So it actually starts in the between two streets, so at the back of Oriana Street, and then comes down underneath the avenue and then becomes part of Lynfield Reserve, winds its way behind Countdown and the shopping area there, and there's a lovely nice concrete footpath and wooden bridge area there now, which has been great, and then goes underneath Commodore Street in front of the new Ryman development. Again, winds its way round and round and round and finally comes out at Lynfield Cove, which is down by Julita, and then into the Manukau Harbour. So 2 kilometres of fantastic, diverse flora and fauna and well worth, I think, recovering and helping to preserve and enhance, actually.
Yeah, so the I have to say, when I was first elected onto the local board, which is nearly 9 years ago now, I hadn't heard of it either.
No.
And it's been really interesting because a lot of the work we've done has focused on Oakley, on Tiaonga, and that's been great and important, and it's really good that we've done that. And I know in the past we've spoken to Friends of Oakley Creek on this program and stuff like that. Also spoken to STEPS, which is the group associated with Waitetiko, which doesn't actually run through our area, but some of the headwaters and the aquifer that feeds it are in our area. And then there's Wairaki as well. So we have these, at least three. Someone told me the other day that there was actually a stream that kind of got obliterated when they put State Highway 20 through, that ran through that valley as well. We've got these urban streams, but people just, they seem to be these little hidden gems.
I know. Some of us are kind of going, do we tell anybody else?
Yeah, well, because the risk is that, you know, sometimes with ecological areas in particular, bring people into the environment and actually that's not great for the
flora and fauna. I know, it's that balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I personally think that if we do it well, it's such a wonderful asset for the local community. So I've got 4 children, I can remember, you know, we used to drive out to white tackery forests and things like that and do wonderful nature walks, and then to have this lovely asset here, I mean, you don't, it's the balance of too many people and what they might do, and being able to know what to do when they're down there so that they can not walk in the stream because of, you know, you don't want to interfere with the microorganisms and things like that. You want to enhance the area, you don't want to leave any rubbish and bits and pieces, but it's just, it's a fantastic quiet place, so, I think, awe-inspiring, really, this close to the city.
Yeah.
You know, you can go there and like, for me, 5 minutes away and be in this magic forest environment. It's lovely.
And so I was really lucky. One of the volunteers with your group, Elaine, she took me down the back of her house, which backs onto near the Romans development. And we went sort of wading in the stream and stuff. And it's just magic.
Yeah.
And at that stage, we still had an old rusty car in the stream. And it was still magic, you know?
Yeah.
And it was, it really affected me. Mm. And, you know, helping people to be able to have those experiences in their own neighbourhood and to do it in a way that, you know, leaves only footprints, takes only photographs. Yep. I think that's a really exciting opportunity that you guys are pursuing.
Yes, and that's exactly what I think our long-term goal and aim is, certainly along that. I've got a couple of families already who've decided to adopt like 10 metres. So that's what I was sort of selling it like. So if you back on to the Wairaki, you know, Stream Reserve, we can come and explain what you might like to do, how you might do it, you know, with an environmental kind of aspect. And, you know, have that pride of being able to enhance something and preserve it and for your family for the rest of the generations to come. Yeah. And what I'd long-term like to do probably is to have lots of these people maybe take before and after photos. And it might only be that you manage to get rid of, you know, some palm weed or something. Doesn't matter. Little bits, every little bit helps.
Yeah.
And then get together once or twice a year maybe and just celebrate your journey and your successes. Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. Mm. And it's that, you know, it's that living locally stuff as well. Yeah. Like you said, you know, not going out to the Waitakere's to have a tramp, but actually acknowledging and respecting and valuing what's in your own backyard. Mm. I actually went on a little very short, as it turned out, bushwalk with my three-year-old earlier and ran into the Women's Outdoor Pursuits people who had been doing a big walk around the foreshore down on the Manukau. And it is just that, you know, the things that you discover and see, and often they are things that are in your own neighbourhood. So how did you first get involved? How did you find out about
Wairaki Stream? So actually it was through Elaine, who you mentioned.
Yeah.
So I'm a yoga teacher through the local YMCA and been doing that for over 20 years is all I'll say.
Sure.
And Elaine comes to my classes. And so she was involved in trying to get rid of the car out of the stream there. And I said, you know, I'd love to come and help. So we went down the same kind of thing, experience you talked about, wading down, climbing all over this car, trying to find identification numbers and things like that. And I said, look, I'm really happy to help out and, you know, do as much as I can. And so we were looking at putting a pasture painting in that reserve. I think it was maybe your initiative as well to her.
It was Elaine's idea, but the local board is responsible for the park, so they needed to get some landowner approval and get a grant and stuff. So, where that conversation started.
So I was like, oh, someone's going to come and do a painting and have it on a sign, but no.
No, that's not how it works.
So I had to hurriedly do some lovely research around pasture painting, and it's basically making bee-friendly gardens.
Yeah.
And I now know that Auckland and New Zealand want to be friendly areas, so the whole way through. Yeah. So it would connect up with that, which would be great. So unfortunately, Elaine had to leave the country with a family emergency, and so I was left filling out my first application for the local board. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
13, 14 pages. And, you know, not really knowing what I was doing, so that was fantastic. Finished it, managed to put it in. That's when I kind of thought, oh, maybe Friends of Wairaki Stream might be a good name, because you kind of have to do all of this kind of on-the-spot thinking about things. And so then I got some communication back from the local board and Puke Te Papa board, and was advised that with the pasture painting, we would need to get approval from the neighbouring properties to see if anyone had any bee allergies. We would need to get the land advisory team in. That would take a couple of months.
It all became a bit complicated, didn't it?
It was like, oh my goodness, this is really unravelling. So, and if we failed in our application process, apparently it's a black mark against our name for future.
Maybe not.
Funding.
But
anyway, that was what we were told. So I was like, oh, I think we need to withdraw that funding. Yep. So, but with that process, I met up with Kathy. Kathy had just recently retired and was looking to get kind of involved. She'd had a couple of episodes with the conservation volunteers.
Yeah.
And so Wendy, who is a co-founder of the Oakley Creek, Friends of Oakley Creek,
yep.
She's also very heavily involved in the conservation volunteers, and they've been doing, unbeknownst to most of us, fantastic work for a number of years in Lynfield Reserve, cleaning and planting. So together with, we had a, like a little meeting and then kind of founded the Friends of Wairaki Stream. And yeah, I learned lots about Facebook paging and Gmailing. And huge big learning curve there. That was quite cool. I'm still trying to get my head around posting and attaching videos and photos. It is an amazingly time-consuming process, deciding out of 300 photos which one. I've learnt to convert HEC photos now to JPEG because that's what Facebook will take on board.
I have no idea what a HEC photo is, but
I didn't until
like
a month ago. Yep. So I'm appreciative of all these learning experiences. It's this wonderful opportunity.
So, I mean, that's interesting, though, that what on the face of it looks like working bees to take rubbish and weeds out of a stream actually for you is having all these other experiences, and that it itself has grown out of being a yoga teacher.
Yes.
You know, and interacting with the students in your class.
That's right. And it's amazing, isn't it? Connections.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. All those connections and opportunities and how one thing flows onto another.
Yeah, and you never quite know where things will lie and what will take place. So it's wonderful. Yeah.
And it's about being open to those opportunities and
absolutely.
Going, you know what, I'm just going to see how this works out.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is a rolling thing now.
So what are the goals of Friends of Wairaki Stream? How would you like Lynfield to look different in 10 years from where it is now because of the work your group's been doing?
So already, I mean, we had a community meeting, which was fantastic. 30 people turn up, which was, kind of blew me away. Just what I value the most too is the local people and their generosity with their time and their commitment to actually getting involved and openness as well to come along and do these things. So we had first working bee, 18 bags of rubbish plus tyres plus, steel things coming out.
Yeah.
We had another working bee in December and that basically had a lot more stuff. Then we had a small group of people who were determined to get rid of this very, very old steel trailer that had been planted in there, and two shopping trolleys, angle grinders, winches.
Wow.
Heavy machinery, like boys' toys. It was really good.
Yep.
I'm a bit of a tomboy.
Sounds fun.
And managed to clear the stream from there. One of the highlights for me was, they're down there in the stream with junk and everything else, and then it's like, oh, the stream's flowing again.
Yeah.
I mean, I just about shed a tear. It was just, so that kind of moment, I think, is really special. So if you can get into any of those sorts of situations, that's lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've mentioned the rubbish a bit.
Hmm.
We've talked a little bit about weeds, and we'll probably come back to that, but how does it get in there?
Well, that's a mystery to us. Yeah,
I helped out with a recent day that was primarily about weeds and pest plants, but actually we found quite a lot of rubbish that had been dumped basically over the
fences
from residential.
Yeah,
but gosh, it must take a lot of effort to get a car into a stream.
Absolutely. So a car, and that was in the Wairaki Stream part. This big, huge, really heavy trailer. I mean, luckily, I think when I went back and checked on the rubbish, I think scrap merchant people had been around, which is fantastic. So it's good recycling. Because when we were cutting it through, it's like it's solid steel stuff there.
Yeah.
Who would somehow or other get a trailer into that reserve and then push it down or let it go? And so it would land there. The same with the car. I mean, it's quite amazing, isn't it, that you get these things ending up somewhere.
I remember around where the car was, we've got some photos of the car being removed by a crane. It was a really complicated undertaking.
I was going to say, it's amazing when you get in and you see what actually has to be involved. You've got a couple of people, health and safety, obviously. You've got the towing people, the crane people,
yeah,
people, you know, making sure that things are going well. You've got to have, you know, I've learned a little bit more about engineering.
Yeah, kind of you've like got to have traffic management as traffic well management. To get the crane on and off the
yes,
reserve.
You've got to have your weights.
Yep,
pulling up and counterweights yeah. and everything else, yes. So, because there's still the muffler and the sump for the car, so we're yep. going to take a little working bee down there, but we've got straps and ratchets and all yeah. sorts of wonderful items now to use.
So it's where the car was, there were also some fridges and stuff that people yes. had dumped over there.
Yeah.
Over the edge, and you could sort of see how those would have got on there. Yeah. People back their car. I'm not advising anybody to do this, by the way.
No, not at
people
all.
Sort of back the car or the ute up and tip mm. it over the edge, and it tumbles down the bank.
Mm.
And I guess a lot of the I'd be interested in your take on this. To me, a lot of the rubbish that I've seen looks like it's been there quite a long time.
There was a lot when we went down. So there was the local. College, Linfield College.
Yeah.
So one of the ladies, Grace, who looks after the international students, also one of my yoga people.
So yoga makes the world go round.
I know,
it seems.
It's wonderful. So we've had two groups of people come. So we had a special working day just for them, and a local resident, Dana, came as well. And we went down and we spent a couple of hours cleaning out after the car had been removed.
Yeah.
And I've lost my train of thought.
That's okay. So the rubbish, the age of
so
the rubbish.
Yeah, the age of the rubbish. So when we went and we picked up four bags of rubbish and I separated it out into crockery and stuff, it was ancient stuff. I mean, yeah. you know, Wedgwood, glazing, cracked,
yeah.
you know, from England, Edinburgh.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was just amazing, all these plates and glasses and
it's
things like
archaeological.
That.
Archaeological.
Yeah. It was like an yeah. archaeological dig. I was like, ooh, this is yeah. amazing.
So
I don't know where that has come from.
No.
It seems kind of strange, really.
And it's fascinating because Linfield itself, a lot of that land was only developed relatively recently.
Yeah, it was.
Because it was harbour board land.
That's
and
right.
And they kept it and didn't develop
so
it.
So not till the 70s, 80s,
yeah,
really.
That's
and
right.
And it's the same with, like, apparently Linfield Cove, because there's a person who's involved in our group now, and he has always lived along Gilletta. And
right.
as a child, he can remember, like, flying foxing down a, you know, getting in trouble with his mum.
Yeah.
down Gilletta on a, kind of making a flying fox out of the
yeah,
wire
yeah.
that went down the middle of the road.
Wow.
Before it was, well, it was gravel and,
yeah.
and when the cove was actually a cove, it wasn't a flat area. So
yeah.
it was basically the water came from the sea and entered into the stream without being under a big flat playing field, which we have now. So
yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful, those stories. That's the stuff I'd love to collect as well.
And that's yeah. one of the things that doing this kind of work encourages and brings mm. to the surface mm. are those really valuable stories of people's connection with the land.
Yes.
Which, you know, I mean, that's something that has really impressed me as well, my time on the local board, is, mm. is hearing people's connection with the place that they live or they've grown up in or they work
yeah.
in or, you know, sometimes...
And how special that is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what it then also tells you about their lives.
Yes.
And just how, you know, and obviously for this chap, you know, that very special memory mm. of... And how you can just sort of... Just talking to you about it, I'm not even talking to him about it.
Yeah,
you can sense how exciting that must have been for him to,
yes.
to hold that memory for all these years.
Absolutely,
yeah. And to treasure it, and then mm. to share it with other people as well. Mm. You know, mm. that's great,
and it's wonderful because your connection or your experience is what it is now, and then to kind of see that, you know, the layers of history that
yeah.
kind of can unravel, and you can kind of visualise how it might have been. And because it used to be called Duck Stream and Duck Creek.
Oh, really? I
and
didn't
know still,
that.
And there's still sort of families of ducks that live
yeah.
there on the between the sea and the stream, so on the sea end.
Yeah, yeah. When Elaine and I went for our wade, I have to say, we didn't have to do too much wading, listeners, because it was
dry
had
season.
Been really, really dry.
Cool.
So, but it's I wouldn't encourage people to go and have a sort of freestyle wade.
No.
Because it is quite slippery and tricky. It's hard to get up and down from. So it is the kind of thing where you really want to go with someone who knows what they're doing and knows the terrain.
And there's quite a number of waterfalls, actually,
yeah.
because it actually comes down so... Oakley might have one. We have, you know, several. I don't like to boast.
The thing with the Oakley one is it's really big. So
it is actually
like,
big.
Wow,
yes.
That's, you know, that's a proper waterfall. But it's sort of like, but if you've got more.
Well, that's right. Yeah, quantity, quality.
Yeah.
One of those debates.
Right. Yeah. So Anyway, we're not really in a competition between Wairaki.
No,
and
we
tea,
are not. No, no, no. It's actually lovely to have all that support.
Absolutely.
And Wendy's been fantastic. I must admit, great mentor.
She's a real hero. Actually, I've really appreciated the work that she's done in the northern part. In our section of the catchment, the upper catchment of Te Aonga, but also her support for other groups like yours.
Yeah, no,
just invaluable.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've come across so far? What would be your worst weed?
So the worst weed, I've developed an absolute hate passion against several weeds now.
Yeah.
flowering cherry, and it's beautiful, but no.
So what does that look like?
So it becomes a tree. Yeah. So you can get it when it's a seedling, otherwise it becomes a tree. And it has beautiful pink flowers. It's like a cherry blossom tree.
But it's evil.
It's slightly evil, yes, unfortunately. Yeah. Blue Morning Glory, again, at the moment. Yeah. Fantastic blue trumpet flowers, blue purple. Oh, looks fantastic. Cloaks and winds around everything and chokes the life out of everything underneath it. So, out.
Yeah.
Trazentia, which is like a creeping one.
Yeah.
That is the bane of my life.
Yeah.
Every single bit of it grows another plant. So, you know.
Yeah.
You have to bag that and like dig in, get the roots.
Just about kill it with fire. Yeah.
Just about. Yep. So.
And so that one, listeners, I had great fun. You can actually sort of rake it up like a carpet and roll it up. It's quite rewarding.
Can be rewarding.
Yeah. You feel like you're clearing quite a large area rather than having to pick the plants out one by one.
No, it is good. It's actually very satisfying. And then you get a huge weed bag, like as tall as you, full, and you kind of go, yes, I've worked I've done a great deal of work today.
Yeah. It's very satisfying.
Then we have to go through and just pick out the roots.
Yeah. So are the weeds the biggest challenge?
So at the moment, like I've been surprised, as you said, with all the rubbish. So that's been an amazing thing. So the stage we're moving into, which is great, is probably the weeding and getting rid of those weeds and deciding which ones we can concentrate on. We had a lot of great support from, as I said, the local Puketu Papa board and the council. They even like have funded our barbecues, which has been a way of, you know, thanking our volunteers.
Yeah.
And even that's... It's quite interesting because you think, oh, you know, do we need to do that? But the time afterwards where people can share their stories and they can connect, I think is actually more valuable than I thought it was going to be. So that's really, we really appreciate that support. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now what we're trying to do is actually clear it so we can do some planting. So planting is from May through the winter time with the rains, so you don't have to water individually, which is great. So we have, and I learned these new terms, releasing. So that's releasing the weeds around plants that have been planted.
Yeah.
And then you've got weeding, which is clearing areas, and then you've got planting where you plant into the weeded areas. Yeah, so... Yes, there's a process.
I hadn't heard of releasing before. That sounds very...
kind of almost in, no?
Yeah. No, but it does. It's sort of like a little bit Marie Kondo, I guess.
Yes, it is.
You kind of
gives
going,
you joy. Yeah.
You don't belong here. This is not the right place for you.
Yes.
Thank you for your service. You can go in the weed bin now and become compost.
Yes.
And, you know, go on, move on to the next chapter in your life.
That's right. It's lovely.
And in the meantime, you're creating space for the other plant
that can
to
breathe
flourish.
And flourish.
And spark joy.
Beautiful.
Cool. We're so in sync on this.
Mm.
So what surprised you about doing this?
I think genuinely the local community support. So to get people that are keen, you know, we had people, as I said, a small group come like the weekend before Christmas.
Yeah.
And give up their time.
Probably people, trying to avoid going Christmas
well,
shopping.
Well, I wondered.
Yeah.
I did wonder. But, you know, I
timing.
Thought it was very nice of them to do that. But they to get see, the, see them get that wonderful joy and have that passion about their local area and other people who've, again, never kind of gone in there, never seen it really. It's just been something that you could drive past, walk past.
Yeah.
And then to take those moments while you're in there kind of cleaning and helping to preserve it to actually, and then they get that connection to it. And I think that's really what I'd love to grow is that family connection, community connection. And then, you know, you feel a bit braver to kind of ask some of the local teenagers if they're sitting there with their, you know, takeaways. Oh, thanks very much for not, you know, dropping your rubbish and then come back and it's all clean. It's like,
yeah. It is. It's all there honouring and respecting the space that the community cherishes.
And if people feel connected, I think they're more likely to do that, which is fantastic. And it is such a lovely asset. I mean, we've had some kereru, some wood pigeon in there, tuis, fantails. So it's we're looking at planting and kind of hoping to keep that bird life expensive enough for them, so keeping enough food there for everyone, all the birds, all year round, so that they can grow their populations. And
One of my dreams,
lovely kingfishers as well.
Oh, great! Mm. One of my dreams is to be able to see kereru regularly in my garden.
Yep. So we will help you.
Yes, thank you. And I live in Roskill South, so I live a little bit further away from Wairākei Stream, but quite close to the Waikowhai Coast, Waikowhai Park area, where there's been a lot of pest control and encouraging the kereru population. And I had never seen one in the wild until quite recently, when I was walking up to the bus stop around the corner from my house, and two just flew across the road.
Amazing.
And I was like, finally!
I actually love them. They're kind of gluttons and clumsy.
They're real characters.
They're lovely, I had one almost take my head off, you know. From a hot top branch full of berries.
Yeah.
You could see, I think, that it was going to go directly across to the next branch, the same height.
Yeah.
Lost altitude. Yep. And I was like watching it, and I was bending my knees, and it kind of woof, 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 as it kind of slowly goes, and then it sort of goes awkwardly to one side. You can see the berries shift.
Wow.
And then it makes its way up to the lowest branch on the next tree and goes, oh, I just wait here and digest food and I'll get to that top branch. And then it sees a berry out at the corner of its eye and can't resist picking it. It's like, I was thinking, is that my emblem? I'm not sure.
So how can people help out with Friends of Wairākei Stream? And I know in particular you've got a volunteer day coming up.
Yes, March the 23rd.
Yeah, so tell us all about that and how people can come along and participate.
Cool. So we have our volunteers. At the moment we've got like 2 hours because we feel that's enough time, sort of an hour and a half
of heavy
work.
You can get a lot done in 2 hours.
And then half an hour for cleaning up and everything else. Unfortunately, we won't have a barbecue this time, but we've got some cake we've had, so we'll try and get some little maybe snacks or something for people to have, and maybe some juice and water, just to say thank you. But from 10 to 12, we meet. We start off at about 8:30, 9 o'clock, setting things up.
Sure.
So we have by the skateboard park, by the playground area, the official bus stop along the avenue. So it's sort of in that area you'll see us. And anyone can come and join at any time. Anyone can come and do half an hour. Whatever they can do is really appreciated. So if you want to, we've got a Gmail account.
Yep.
Friends of Wairākei Stream, F-O, and then Wairākei Stream, one word.
Yep.
Facebook page, also Friends of Wairākei Stream, so people can come in and send a message through there and let us know.
Great.
But 10 to 12 would be fantastic. Great to see everyone.
Cool. And what about the weather? Will you do it whatever the weather?
Whatever the weather. We're all weather people.
So, you know, there's no such thing as bad weather. It's just the wrong clothing, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think the one I went to, you encourage people to wear...
closed-in shoes is the absolute must-have, apparently, from a health and safety point of view, just in case you get twigs in your toes and things like that. So that's a must-have. I would recommend that long sleeves and long pants are worn, because there's a bit of pampas grass, which is the cutty...
cutty grass when I was a kid. Yeah,
it's got the serrated edge, and some of the sedges, native plants, also have cutting edges as well. So that just helps to keep it comfortable for you. We've got gloves, but if you've got your own, that's good. We've got goggles if you've got your own. If you want to bring your own fabulous tools, I've seen some wonderful. I've become, you know, tool envy, FOMO.
But you guys have some there
as
well.
We have some. We're getting quite a good collection now, which is great.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's been really fascinating. And I'm sad we're out of time, but we are. So it just remains really to thank you, Diane, so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
All the best with Friends of Wairākei Stream. And I'll put some links up, folks, so you can find out more about that too.
Mm.
Thanks for listening. And we love to hear your feedback from Twitter or Facebook. And this has been Julie Ferry for Red Alert Radio. Ka kite anō.
Thank you.
Get together next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.